Ohma gyanti madandasya gyanandana sarakaya shachuram hitam tasmai shri gurave namaha shri krishna chaitanya daya kara vichar vichar karite chitte bhava chanka krishna das kaviraj goswami is describing how one should meditate on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He said, and the more one begins to understand and perceive that mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the more one's heart fills with amazement, and one just becomes overwhelmed by how much this mercy is penetrating. So many ways we can think of. There are scriptures, there's the holy name. That's the obvious visible mercy. There are pure devotees. There are deities. There are deities that are found. Deities that are somewhere in the earth and are uncovered. Many such deities. Sometimes they call them self-manifest. Although they may be deities of former times, but then there are also stories of miracles, just like Gopalbhatta Goswami's Shaligram Shila, and who desired to worship deities, and then someone donated clothes for deities. That is like, is this desire? Yes, the clothes and no deities, and then the Shiva just changed to Radha Raman. So Krishna is also in mystic ways or miraculous ways manifesting his mercy in the form of deities. Deities are reciprocating. There are ancient stories, the famous story of Raghunandan, who as a boy was asked by his father Mukunda to take care of the deities and for a number of days while his father was absent. And an offering was made and he put everything on the altar, rang the bell, chanted the mantras exactly like his father had told him. And when he came back, he saw that Krishna didn't eat anything. Everything was on the plate. And of course he was used to that, you know. His mother had trained him that if you don't eat your plate, you know, then. So he did the same to Krishna, and Krishna was intimidated and ate everything. Of course, the mother didn't believe it and thought that the boy ate everything. And when the father came back, he wanted to punish his son. But then his son cried and said, no, he really ate everything. Then the father had some doubt. So the father said, all right, I'm tired from the traveling. You just do the offering tonight. Tomorrow I'll do it again. So he did the offering, and the father was peeking from behind the curtain. So Krishna had just come down from the altar and just sat down and got ready to start munching. And just then he saw how Mukunda, Raghunandan's father, was peeking around the corner of the curtain, and he immediately jumped back on the altar. Those are ancient stories, but also in ISKCON there are many stories. There are stories that, you know, you have these offerings. Offerings are supposed to be in time. And then you have these offerings that are cooked at racing speed. And then at the end, the puris, and then the ghee is extremely hot, and the puris sort of, they fly in the ghee and they fly out of the ghee at the same time, cooked, kind of, on the outside. But the inside is completely uncooked. So such puris, such flying puris, were one time offered. And as the pujari put the plate, the bell, said the mantras, and then went off the altar. to let crochet. Then the puris flew through the coating. Such things are happening. In Bombay, in Juhu, Sisi Radharas Bihari, there was a Muslim tailor, and he was making clothes for the deities, and they asked him to make a new set. And he said, I have to go on the altar to take measurements. They said, you've made so many clothes for the deities, you have the measurements. He said, no, the size is changing. No wonder, if you see what kind of offerings they're making in Bombay. No wonder the size is changing. So, also in our times, deities are active, are not just passively present. There are other stories, Sakshi Gopal, Audi, two brahmanas went to Vrindavan, and the young brahmana was poor, served the wealthy elderly brahmana. The elderly brahmana was very happy and said, oh, I want to give you my daughter. The young man said, no, that will not be suitable. Your family may not be happy. No problem. I can do what I want. Yeah. All right, then you promise it in front of Gopal. So he did. And Gopal was the witness. So later, the family was very much against it, and the family threatened with suicide. So then the older brahmana didn't know what to do. He was ready to crush uprising, but not suicide. So now he's bewildered, how do I deal with this? You know what I mean? And then, so then his elder son said, you just tell everyone that you don't remember. The elderly brahmana said, well, I don't remember. Then the young brahmana said, all right, but I have a witness. The deity. So he said, yes, I will bring him here. And the atheistic son of the Brahmin said, yes, you bring him here. But the deity came and walked across India, stopped outside the village, and Sakshi Gopal is still there. So this is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that mercy is there. In the form of the deities, that Krishna is present. That mercy was also available in other yugas. One might say, well, and wasn't deity worship the yuga dharma for the Dwapara Yuga? Yes, it was. But at that time, deity worship was very difficult, extremely complicated. The standards in the worship were very intricate and very precise. Whereas Srila Prabhupada, when he introduced deity worship into our movement, he stressed three things. Namely, he said punctuality, he first said simplicity, cleanliness, and punctuality. So simplicity was one of the three, which is interesting, because our main worship is kirtan. We're offering the deities kirtan. When Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan were being installed, Prabhupada had kirtan. At the same time, some brahmanas, and the brahmanas were doing so many things. So many rituals. And Prabhupada said, the real installation is the kirtan. And we're just doing this ritual for the local people, so that they'll accept this temple as bona fide. But actually, the deities are installed by kirtan. So much discussion sometimes in ISKCON about installed deities and uninstalled deities. And one should ask, did you have kirtan for the deities? And if you did, then they're installed. No way around it. And then they're very present. At big or small, doesn't matter. They're present. So in this way, we understand the importance of kirtan in our deity worship. And therefore, in this age, deity worship is... (Laughter) deity worship is in this age different than in the Dwapara Yuga, in the sense that now the emphasis is on the kirtan that we're offering to the deities. You can also see that in the temple construction. You know, in India, you have many classical temples. Like, for example, you go to Tirupati, and in Tirupati, there is the queue system. Traditionally, it was like that. People would go, there is Saptagiri, seven hills, and you would go up steps up the hill, and it's a whole thing to get up the hill, and it's quite a high hill, actually, mountain, really. So first you have to climb the mountain by a staircase, then you have to stand in a long, long queue and wait and wait and slowly move forward and finally come in the temple. And then the deities you can't see until the only very end, because the temple is a big hall, but then there's the Karba Griha, the house of the deities, is only very small. And there, you know, people, they're there for 10 seconds, and in the line, 10 seconds, and they're out. So that is more the traditional system of taking darshan. But Srila Prabhupada, when he was in England, he went to the Cathedral of St. Paul's, and he said that was a dome, and he said, in my poor, I want a temple like that. A dome. So domes are not like Vedic tradition so much, you know. It's more shikars, you know, like vertical, like cone type of shapes. So this whole type of architecture with the big domes that actually started with Prabhupada, so that there would be lots of space for darshan, lots of space for kirtan. We need halls, we need space, we need to be able to run around, and we need to be able to get 30,000 devotees in there and have a kirtan. Oh, that's the idea. So like that, kirtan is very much in the forefront. So our meditation is on the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is entering into the hearts of devotees. And it is said, Dharmasya Tattvani Tam Guhayam Mahasani Yena Gatasapanitam, that the truth is hidden within the hearts of the devotees. So the mercy of Lord Chaitanya comes through the devotees. Evam Parampara Praptam in Parampara. Not only the official parampara as it is listed, 32 personalities from Krishna to Srila Prabhupada in the front of the Bhagavad Gita, but parampara also comes in so many ways. What we hear from the senior Vaishnavas is also parampara. The kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he performed at Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra, that kirtan is also echoing now, today, in this movement, still there. It's like it carried forward from one to the next, and different devotees, they entered into this kirtan. So, in this way, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya comes to the devotees. Yeah. So more and more we should think about this mercy.
As we were waiting on the airport in Johannesburg, there was a book. It's a bookstore. So I looked inside, and they're advertising some book, and it said it was about the art of thinking fast and thinking slow, which, you know, is interesting. Thinking fast, we do in service to Krishna.
book distributors.
They think very fast. They are out in the street, they think very fast. People come up with objections, and they have some answer to it. They think fast. Prabhupada was thinking very fast. Questions, he would have amazing answer. Amazing answers. Swamiji, do you have a concept of hell in your religion? Yes, London is hell. But that was, of course, that's a classic, you know, we know that one very well, right? We've heard that so many times, but brilliant though, to come up with that so quick, out of nowhere, very brilliant, quite amazing. Who would come up with that? Because it's true, in a sense, because Prabhupada was seeing with a transcendental vision. And Prabhupada was seeing that this place is under sinful reactions, you see. He could see that London is a place which is under sinful reactions, and that that's why it's cold and damp and... and sort of clouds, foggy, windy, and like that. So anyway, but covered by sinful reactions. So Prabhupada wasn't just sort of, it wasn't just a quip, you know, like a quick witty remark. No, it was just his vision he was seeing. He was seeing immediately, yes, this is hell. It was completely clear. He didn't have to think about it. He could just see it as it was, not becoming bewildered by the glitter of, you know, Soho Street, downtown. No. Prabhupada was not caught up in the illusion of things and just saw it for what it was, a sinful place. A place under sinful reaction, hell. So, in that way, he could be very quick and think fast, because he knew things as they are. He knew things as they are. And then, so it is like that. When we know things as they are, then in any given situation, we can give the right answer. You could not find, there's in Prabhupada's life, a time that a question was asked in Prabhupada, there's nothing like that. And strong answers every time, right? Answers that that would really touch people. From the very beginning, Prabhupada sitting on the loft, that's before Matchless Gift, with all these spaced out hippies, and a journalist visiting Prabhupada. The journalist at, he went to meet, he was going to meet A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So when he saw all these people sitting on the loft and he saw Prabhupada sitting on the other end, he walked across and he said, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, I presume. Something like, Livingston, I presume. And then he, meeting him in the Nile somewhere, you know. And Prabhupada said, yes. And then the journalist immediately said, he said, what are all these people doing here? And Prabhupada said, I don't know. And they don't know either. Just like, you know, completely clear, you know what I mean? Completely clear about the reality of the situation, right? And it's like, boom, you know. I don't know, and they don't know either. I mean, deep and clear. So, in this way one can see that when a person is bewildered, when a person doesn't, is it this or is it that? Then the thinking slows down. I mean, what is it? What am I looking at? You see? So, we are bewildered because we don't know what things really are. But Prabhupada, because he saw things for what they were, boom, boom, he could immediately expose it in one remark. So that is thinking fast. Thinking slow is to just be completely fixed. Fixed at Krishna's lotus feet, a resident of the spiritual world, and to not become so affected by all the varieties of things that are going on in this world. Oh no, have you heard the news? Have you heard it? No. No, you haven't heard. No, no. Oh no. Oh God, I haven't heard the news. But for Prabhupada, there's that timeless reality. Right? And that is where a Vaishnava is slow and deeply rooted and deep in meditation. When we're thinking about Krishna, yes, then we can think very slow. Just if you look at the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes Krishna and it goes very, very slow. It describes his shape and how his body is reddish in various places, the eyes, something reddish, in the white of the eyes there is reddishness. His eyes itself are like black bumblebees. That's what they say. Look at Radha Madhavid Mani. Then you will see it. Next time you're in Manipur, just look at Madhava's eyes and you will see that his eyes are like black bumblebees. Yes. So anyway, one can go over the body like that, and Bhagavatam does it, and does it very slow. You know, a verse dedicated to the earrings, a verse dedicated to the teeth. It go very slow, very slow. Meditational. Yeah. Because there is no need to move on. It is the restless mind that always has to move on. Looking here, looking there, looking everywhere. Bahu Sakhi Anantascha. It is the conditioned soul who is very fast. 87 flavors.
Is that all? You only have 87 flavors? Really?
God, you know, it's like, which flavor shall I have? You know what I mean? Oh, that will cost more. That's cheaper. You have this movie Midnight Cowboy, and in Midnight Cowboy it's about some country pumpkin cowboy head and everything who goes to the big city, and well, he's decided to make his money from selling himself for sex, male prostitution to all the ladies. That's what he's into. Then he connects with some person named Ratso. And Ratso is Dustin Hoffman. He's got a limp, right? He's got a limp in his old broken raincoat, and he lives behind a construction site in an old broken building. Right? And then he lives with a fridge, you know, in this kind of, And they're in this city. It's actually it's hellish, and they decide they're going to get out of there, and they want to go to California. But you know, they practically have no money, and they want to go there. And then, you know, there's a scene in the movie where of Retzo's dream. You know, and he's sitting in his old dirty clothes in a little broken chair in his apartment. And then he's dreaming. And then he sits next to a swimming pool on like one of these, you know, sort of beds that they, you know, these sun beds that they have, right? And there are beautiful girls surrounding him, and you know, they're all serving him in different ways. Some are offering him drinks, and he's listening to beautiful music, and you know, someone massaging him, and the whole thing, it's like every sense is engaged and enjoying at the same time. And you see like Bratzo's dream. So this is the material energy. You get bewildered and want to try and enjoy all the senses at the same time. That is Bahushaki Anantascha. Then the intelligence begins to look everywhere. Maybe this is enjoyable, but maybe that also, but what about that? Oh, there behind me, oh, can't miss out on that. Oh, I gotta have this also. I gotta have everything. No? Yes. But a devotee is Vyavasiyat Mikar Buddhir Eka Hakurananda. He's just fixed on Krishna. And he doesn't move from there. It said, Guru, the translation of the word Guru is heavy. Guru is heavy. But then the explanation of that word heavy means, it said the Guru is heavy because he cannot be moved from the lotus feet of Krishna. Nothing in the world can move him. Therefore, he's completely fixed. So in this way, a Vaishnava is slow, is thinking slow in deep meditation. So when I saw that on the airport, I thought, that's nice, thinking fast and thinking slow. Yes, that suits us. Who can think faster than the pure devotee? Because he doesn't have to think. What am I going to say? It just flows. And because he doesn't need to impress anyone. He simply speaks the truth as he sees it. As simple as that. He's seeing the truth. Therefore, all he has to do is say it. Anyway, these are some very deep and valuable things that we have in our Krishna consciousness. And all I can say about that is that this is all part of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The more we are becoming aware of that, then he advised others who say, I am made of mercy alone. And this is a fact. And because gradually we change our life, gradually we adjust our life, and little by little, of course, you know, the mind is a little reluctant. The senses are pushing, the material desires are holding us back, our false ego holds us back, there's some envy, there's this and that, so all that holds us back. But gradually, little by little, we become purified. And then, we become transparent. And then basically, We just become the instrument of Krishna. We adjust our whole life to the will of Krishna. We only do the work of Krishna. And at that stage, there's nothing between us and Krishna. And then everything, there's a direct connection. And everything just flows directly. Oh. Transcendental knowledge, mercy. At that stage, one can say, I'm made of mercy alone. Yeah, so that's a nice meditation. So it's nice to be back in Cape Town. Too bad I have no voice this time, but anyway, we'll see what we can do about it. Let's see what's left tomorrow. So any questions or comments?
So, you know, I would like to know about why we are chanting. Because sometimes when I'm chanting and think like the form and pastime of Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, and I see like there's some difference, you know. When I chant, I'm thinking of the form of Krishna. And in Chaitanya Prabhu, it's like different. I don't understand, you know. I understand like both they are Krishna himself.
Yeah.
But they are playing different yoga. But the thing is, when I chant, I'm thinking of Krishna himself, and I feel like some vibration. But when I think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I feel like less, you know, like, not like, you know, I don't understand that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it seems, you know, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna are different. And at the same time, they're also the same, right? So this is Achincha Veda Veda Tattva. Simultaneously, one and different. So that is there. And it's interesting that in the beginning, it seems that Krishna is more manifest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hidden from us. He, in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is described as the Channa avatar, the hidden avatar, the covered avatar. But then, you know, as we are continuing in devotional service, then it turns around. And then we feel that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more available and Krishna is more distant. It's actually more difficult to go to Krishna directly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very available. You know. Anyway, the fact that we are here, it's only because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, we would not know about Krishna. And even if we would have heard about Krishna, we said, like, you know, Dad, come on, you know, be real, be practical, and come on. We would have found something else to do. If I had said, well, this is nice, but this is not realistic, we would have found reasons we would have never thought to become part of something like this. And then, as we became part of it, we never realized that it would take over our whole life. And you know, whether you move in the temple or whether you work outside in the job, and gradually, Krishna starts to take over all your time. Some people, they even translate books at work. Hare Krishnas are always cutting corners at work. I don't know how to get away with it, but they, somehow or other, they do. Sometimes they work hard so that they can escape when there's a ratiyatra or something like that. Oh, they don't care about social life, they don't care about TV, they don't care about anything. Oh, in that way, we are, you know, seeing that. Lord Chaitanya, takes over. So he's more present in our life than we see, and gradually we will see it. And Krishna, yes, Krishna is there, but how can we get close? That's not easy. I agree, Krishna is there, spiritual world, Vrindavan, but how can we get close? By jumping in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narottama Thakura says, dive in the ocean of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and emerge in the pastimes of Krishna. That's our path. Anyone else?
I read a quote, I think it was posted by Mother Gingar on Facebook. It was something about if you want to get the mercy, you have to go through certain people in order to get to Vrindavan. That includes five people. That includes Lord Shiva as Gopishwa.
Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya. The first Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya he has worshipped Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya has brought Lord Chaitanya into this world. So we are going through Advaita Acharya. Yeah. See, just like, why Krishna and Balaram? Because they're Gornitai. Prabhupada explains. So we go to the Panchatattva, into Vrindavan. So, yes, Gopishwar is Sada Shiva manifest to us as Advaita Acharya. So he is worshipping, so we go behind him, behind his worship. So we pray to Advaita Acharya, and his worship, right, is attracting the mercy of the Lord. Because he's worshipping, the Lord is in the mood to give the mercy. So we'll just go behind Advaita Acharya. Sri Krishna, therefore, will they say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitana. See Advaita, get out. Okay, I guess I have to give my voice a rest. Otherwise, I won't be able to speak tomorrow. So thank you very much. Nice to be here. Yeah. See you all again. Good night. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.